Great to see you guys. I'm excited for this weekend. Shay said there'll be some things that you're not even ready for. Catch your warfare, and she is absolutely right. I cannot wait. It's gonna be a great time. We will not be shaving anybody's head. That did happen two fall retreats ago. So it's somewhere in between what you're expecting and shaving someone's head. That did happen. Shout out Owen, where are you at? Yeah. Let's go. Man, he looks great with the buzz cut, though. So, Stephen did you a favor, bro. Guys, it's going to be an awesome weekend. It's going to be really fun, but I honestly believe it's going to be really impactful. Some of the best memories, literally, of my life, definitely of my college experience, come from fall retreat. Some of the most memorable experiences. You got late night conversations. You got awesome preaching, awesome worship, awesome dances and everything. And guys, honestly, senior year fall retreat for me was one of my favorites because it was an awesome fall retreat, a killer Sunday morning session. And then I actually drove back to Ames that afternoon and proposed to my wife the day, a Sunday of fall retreat, and she said yes. And then get this. 2018, got my first Fortnite dub that night as well. Insane! Guys, that was like first year of Fortnite. Like, I was living on cloud nine. That day was literally the best day of my life. I honestly believe it. So, for some of you, like, you're thinking, hey, college has been amazing, and I'm ready for, like, kind of just another hype moment, another mountaintop moment. So, I recognize that some of you, and I love that, and I'm excited for you in that, but I also know that there's a different story for some of you. For some, like all the excitement and hype around the weekend, you've seen the hype and the excitement we're doing around the weekend, it might not reflect how you're actually feeling or how you're actually doing. Maybe this year hasn't been filled with mountaintop moments, but rather the hardest season of your life that you've ever walked through. For some, instead of fun and encouragement, this year has brought some of the deepest challenges and trials. Life might not feel like a beautiful, sunny fall day with friends, but more like you're stuck in the middle of a storm that never seems to end, feeling helpless and confused. You feel helpless, overwhelmed by the storms of life that you're going through, feeling weak, unable to escape them. Maybe it's the pain of a breakup, right, that still hurts. Maybe the death of a loved one, a grandparent, or a friend. Maybe it's the pain of a divorce that you don't know how to process. Maybe the hurt of a friend. Maybe a physical illness that you're going through right now. Maybe the loneliness that you've gone through that no one knows about this first month of college. Maybe it's the stress of a whole new season of life and trying to figure it out and being anxious about this and anxious about that. Maybe it's some sort of persecution you're facing for choosing to follow Christ. Maybe a season of depression. Maybe a struggle with insecurity and identity and self-worth. Maybe something much worse, something you feel like no one else can relate with you in. You feel helpless. And all of those things, they have you feeling helpless and confused, maybe even asking the question, why God? Like, why? Like, if you are so good, if you are this God of, like, excitement and hype, like, why am I going through this? Where are you? Are you even here with me? And if we're being real, for some of you, you feel like life just kind of sucks right now. There's no way around it. It just kind of sucks right now. The question I want to ask tonight is, have you ever gone through a storm in life that has you feeling helpless and confused? A couple of summers ago, during one of our staff retreats, we went to, my family has a cabin on the Mississippi River, and we took out the pontoon and some jet skis. And everything was, it was going great. We were just going out to float for a while, but after a while, we noticed it started to get a little bit dark outside, some clouds rolling in. And guys, I've grown up on the river my whole life. Like, I've boated in the rain before. Like, I've seen some dark clouds out there. But never before had I experienced a storm like this one that me and our staff team found ourselves in 2 summers ago. Actually, I have a video of that day. It's the only one I could find. I wish I had more. You can see it here. Okay, play it one more time. There's a little bit of volume. It's not a lot to it. Okay, you can't really hear it. That's the only video I have for the day. But 2 things there. First of all, that's Stephen. Stephen Jones, taking off on the jet ski. If you don't know who Stephen is, he was the previous director. He's awesome. He's taking off the jet ski. You can see some of the clouds that are starting. It's looking pretty dark. And Stephen's like, all right, let's go out into it. And then you can also faintly hear me say, all right, guys, I think we should basically go back in now because it's not looking great out. So that's where we're at. And then probably 5 minutes later is when the actual storm comes. And like, I'm like, I've been wet before, but like this was torrential downpour. And here we are just like literally stranded in the middle of the river. And like we're getting absolutely soaked. Andy Finger is hiding in the lily pad. Like there's a lily pad that's rolled up in the boat and she's hiding in it. I was looking for that picture. I know it exists somewhere. If you have it, please let me know. I don't know why you'd have it. But like she's hiding like in the lily pad. There's lightning coming down from everywhere. And so I'm like, oh shoot, like I'm the captain of the ship. I'm like, I gotta get us to safety. So I'm like, okay, I go to pull up the anchor and basically find out that the rope is not budging at all. Okay, it's not budging at all. It's actually wrapped around the prop at the bottom. And so I'm like, guys, we can't. We're literally stuck in this, you know, terrible thunderstorm, lightning everywhere. And so that's where we're stuck. Steven, courageous guy, you guys know him. He develops a plan. He comes back in off the jet ski. He takes off his life jacket, jumps into the water, and completely submerges himself as he is now going to untie the rope around the prop. Guys, I'm not joking. Like, it is torrential downpour. There is lightning hitting the water. Like, it is happening. And it was in this moment where Steven was underwater. Like, I will never forget it. It felt like minutes. It was probably realistically 25 to 30 seconds where he was just gone. And it was in that moment where I felt, one, completely helpless. I was like, there is nothing I can do right now. There's nothing I can do to save us. There's nothing I can do to save Steven. And then second, there was enough time where there were some dark thoughts that started to go through my mind of like, did we just kill Steven? I was like, am I going to have to go back to Salt Company and to Candeo Church, and most importantly, his family, and tell him that Stephen Jones, who God has been preparing to be a missionary to Mankato, it's like, he died in the storm, like at my parents' at a staff retreat. Like, there were enough dark thoughts, so I was like, that would be really weird and confusing. 25, 30 seconds goes by, and guys, he comes back up, he got it unwrapped, let's go, Stephen. But then the storm died down like 2 minutes later, and so it didn't matter at all, and then we just stayed out there and enjoyed the rest of the day. We were all safe and fine. That's how the story ends. Stephen didn't die. They're doing great in Mankato. We love Stephen. If you don't know Stephen, you have a sad existence. Just kidding. Guys, we were safe and fine, but it did not feel like that in the middle of the storm. Felt helpless, felt confused. Salt Company, if this is to you tonight, that you feel like you are just absolutely helpless in the middle of a storm. You feel completely overwhelmed and confused by the trials and sufferings in your life. Tonight I want to look at a story in Scripture about a group of people who found themselves in the middle of a storm, hopeless and confused, who had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. And the thing that this miracle of Jesus is going to show us is that Jesus is the Lord of the storm, and he is with you in your storm. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. He's with you in your storm. You can open up to John chapter 6, verse 16. Here's what it says. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. A high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading. So a little bit of context here, because maybe you've heard this miracle and it's like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. But like, guys, this is an amazing miracle. And I want to kind of help us get in the boat for a second and see it from their perspective. So this is immediately after Jesus feeds the 5,000 people. Jake walked us through that story last week. And now that night, Jesus' disciples are heading back to Capernaum across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a sea about 7 miles wide, and it says that they were about 3.5 miles in, and so they are smack dab in the middle of this sea, which many of the disciples, they were fishermen, so that part wasn't necessarily new to them or scary to them, but it's the storm that catches them off guard. The story says that darkness had already set in, right? It was getting later than they thought it would get, really late. It says a high wind arose. Okay, and this is not your, you know, modern cruiser boat with 450 horsepower. Like, no, these guys are rowing with oars, you know. And as the wind picks up, it says the sea began to churn. And so don't think George Wythe on a windy day. Like, this is the Sea of Galilee. Like, waves can be 3, 4, 5, 6 feet tall. And so here they are, miles from where they left, miles away from their destination, caught in this storm, like, with no ability to get themselves out, feeling completely helpless and confused. And this is where Jesus, the Lord of the storm, appears from within the storm, walking on water towards their boat. Now, I want to look carefully at this story, because I think this story tells us a lot about who Jesus is and the suffering that we go through. So I want to go back through, look at three things this miracle tells us about Jesus and suffering, okay? Here's the first one. Is that Jesus uses the storms. Jesus uses the storms in our lives. Last week, Jake talked about how there's different gospel accounts, right? There's Matthew's account, and then there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So in Matthew chapter 14, here's a few extra details it adds to this story. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well, in the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. So we've learned a few more interesting details. First of all, we learned that when Jesus dismissed them to leave, right, it was about sunset. And now it says Jesus is going to them in the very early morning. So they have been rowing for hours. Like, there was a little bit of light when they left. Now it is early in the morning, okay? So they have been at sea against this headwind, like, literally all night, rowing for hours. And we also learned that Jesus sent them into the storm. Okay, did you catch that? Like, after he feeds the 5,000, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Jesus told them to get in the boat. He literally sent them into this storm, right? It's not like that he didn't know there was going to be a storm, you know? But so imagine you're the disciples in the middle of the storm, like, thinking, like, Jesus, like, what? What the heck? Like, why'd you send us into this? And, like, you know, I imagine, like, they're kind of just, no one wants to say it. You know, it's like, he's done a lot of cool things, but it's like, out, you know, 3, 4 hours in, and someone's like, does this seem a little intentional to anyone? Like, you know, and everyone's like, how do you say it? Like, yeah, like, it, like, they had to be thinking that because, like, Jesus sent them into the storm. Like, why would he do this? It seems intentional, right? And they're not wrong. Jesus did send them into the storm. It's not like he didn't know there was going to be a storm, but he didn't send them into the storm for no reason. Now, listen, I'm not claiming to know all the reasons, but here's what I know. Their trials and sufferings that day were not meaningless. The disciples, they learned something that day about themselves and their neediness. And they learned something about God and his power and his ability to meet them in their weakness. And he proved to them once again that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, he is the Lord of the storm. This was a life-changing experience for them. See, sometimes God sends us into the storms. Sometimes God sends trials our ways to teach us something about us, about him, and about our need for him. Now, let me caveat this by saying I don't think every trial and hardship is a storm divinely sent by God, okay? Like in this story. Sometimes I believe God does send specific trials. Sometimes I think God just allows suffering to take place. And sometimes I don't, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a good reason at all to us, but here's what I do know. God absolutely does use every storm. He absolutely uses every storm. There's no trial or suffering that God is not able to use. But often, like we, like I don't know, like list I gave earlier, like what you relate with, but often we feel like there's no purpose in our suffering. But God sees the bigger picture. And listen, just because we can't see the picture, just because we can't think of a reason that God would allow us to go through this, doesn't mean that there isn't one. It reminds me of when I have to take Elsie, my daughter, to go get her blood drawn, okay? So Elsie, she has a few food allergies, and so every couple months, my wife and I, we drive her to Des Moines, and part of kind of her treatment is they need to draw some blood to test her levels. And when she goes, like, she's usually, you know, she's a pretty bubbly girl. She's usually having a great time, and she's pretty squirmy as well. And so it's, like, a little bit hard to, like, get her to sit still for the actual drawing of the blood. And so, guys, it is this painful moment when she is like, she's so happy, she's being herself, she's like intrigued by that the alcohol that the nurse is rubbing on her arm, and then the needle goes in, and like the look that she gives is like, I've never been more betrayed in this moment than right now. Like, she is like, I cannot see one good reason why you would do this other than that you hate me right now. It's like, that is like definitely the look she gives. Her lower lip is like the biggest lower lip you've ever seen. She just freaks out. And it's like, it's painful as a dad because like she's squirming. I'm holding her down so that she can like have this blood drawn out and so that we can help her with her allergies. Guys, it is painful to watch. Because me, listen, I from my perspective, I could explain to her exactly why we're doing this, the science of immunology and that we want to be able to help her eat things that she can't eat now. But listen, she has no ability to understand that the pain and suffering that she is going through is actually going to be leading to some of her good. The gap of knowledge between what she is able to see from her perspective and what I'm able to see is huge. And the same is true for us and God. The gap between what we're able to see and understand for our perspective and what God is able to see and understand is so much bigger than that gap between me and my daughter. And so from our perspective, we might feel like trials and suffering is God abandoning us and betraying us, showing an utter lack of care for us. But we don't always see the bigger picture. When my mom was about 11 years old, her mom died from cancer. And when I was in middle school, my mom learned that she had the same gene for cancer that her mom did, which meant a very, very high risk to develop that same cancer at a young age. And for my mom, this led to years of appointments and preventative surgeries that were some of the biggest times of suffering and trials that she has ever gone through. And she did a good job of hiding these things from us, but there were some truly dark times in my mom's life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Well, I don't know every reason for why God would allow that suffering. Here's what I can see 10, 15 years in hindsight. It's that God used that season to reignite my mom's faith in Jesus, to see her need for him and his power. And this led to my mom wanting to get us more involved in church and leading our family to switch to a healthier church across town. And it was at that church and through its teaching of the gospel that my sister would be saved and I would be saved and my dad would be saved. Now, I don't believe that God sent that cancer, but I absolutely know that God used it. Because God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, redeems what is broken in this world to bring us joy and to bring him glory. Jesus uses the storms, and he can use the storm that you are going through too. Here's the second thing we see. Jesus uses the storms, and Jesus is with us in the storm. Jesus is with us in the storm. When the disciples were in the boat, they believed they were on their own. Miles from shore, low visibility, for hours, completely alone in the storm, they felt isolated. But Jesus knew where they were the entire time, didn't he? He had no problem finding them. And not only does Jesus see them, but what does he do? He gets in the boat with them. The thing that brings them comfort in the storm is not a bigger ship or life jackets or a motor, but Jesus' presence. Jesus' presence is what brings them comfort. Listen, you are not alone in your storms. Jesus is with us in the storm. But here's the thing. Satan would love for you to feel like you're completely alone, to feel like you're completely isolated in it. I'll give you an illustration here. Are there any Survivor fans in here? Anybody watch Survivor with me? Let's go. That's great. I'm a big Survivor fan. I have like 3 Survivor drafts this year, which is kind of insane. Anybody watching this season? Isn't Andy the worst? That relates to like 3 people. It's Banu of last season. Anyways, you guys know. Maybe you haven't seen Survivor. Anybody seen Alone on Netflix? Okay, it's like Survivor on steroids. It's like, hey, you literally just go survive, like, and you have nothing else. Just don't die. Here's one more. I'm not going to have you raise your hand for this. This is one of my wife and I's guilty pleasures. I'm a little embarrassed by it. But we will occasionally watch Mr. Beast videos when they come up. That's crazy to say that. But guys, the clickbait, how do you not? It's literally like stranded in a nuclear bunker for 100 days. Yeah. Like, I want to watch that. Okay. Here's the thing. About all of these challenges, I give into the clickbait, okay? Here's the interesting thing for each of these shows. Survivor, Alone, Mr. Beast challenges. Each of these shows involve intense physical trials and sufferings, right? It's literally a challenge to see who can withstand suffering the longest. But the interesting thing when you watch these videos, that oftentimes the biggest reason that people give up and they go home is not because of a physical reason, not enough sleep or not enough food, but because they feel alone, right? They feel isolated. They feel alone in their sufferings. That's why in these challenges, they'll often, like halfway through, offer a family visit to the contestants, right? It's crazy, like how often these family visits, getting to see a loved one in the midst of your suffering, often gives that person the courage to keep going, right? It gives them the courage to be like, I'm not alone in this. I can keep going. And the same is true for us when we go through storms. Satan wants you to feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You're not alone. God is with us in the trials. Job 28 says, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Proverbs 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. Exodus 3 says, then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their oppression. I know about their sufferings, and I've come down to rescue them. God sees us in our sufferings. There's nothing out of God's sight. And one of Jesus' the biggest personal encouragements to me are the last words of Jesus to his disciples, right? When he gives them this great task to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel, knowing the trials that will come. And he says the last words before he ascends into heaven, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28. I don't know what storm that you're going through right now, but here's what I do know. Jesus is with you in the storm. Satan would love to feel like that you're alone or to convince you in the midst of suffering. What you need is just for the suffering to go away, but what you really need is for Jesus to be in the boat with you. You need his presence. You need to know that Jesus is present. And the fact that Jesus is in the boat, it makes all the difference, because here's point number 3. Jesus has power over the storm. One of the interesting things about this story is that it doesn't describe the disciples being afraid of the storm. Okay, they're fishermen. Like, they've been in storms before. They're not afraid. They're exhausted. They're defeated. But they've been in a storm before. Fear doesn't come into the story until Jesus comes onto the scene. Look at verse 19. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, then they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. And Matthew's account actually tells us they were afraid because they thought Jesus was a ghost. Right? They were less terrified of the storm, right? They were more terrified of the one who was able to walk on water. Right? They aren't used to supernatural power, but that's exactly what they were seeing here. A terrifying amount of power. Jesus able to defy the law of physics. But his miracle doesn't stop there. Matthew's account tells us that Jesus, when he got into the boat, the wind stopped. And John's account tells us that at once the boat was at the shore where they were heading. Like, imagine witnessing that. Like, for all of your life, the sea, the great sea, has been the most chaotic and most powerful source of power that you've ever seen. And for that day, to see someone who in a moment to silence the seas, to cease the winds, to teleport them to a destination, that the destination they're going to instantly. This is not just some man. This is the Lord of the storm. Here's what's beautiful, is that this same God with all the power, says to them, "Don't be afraid. It's me. I haven't come to frighten you with my power, but to save you, to bring you out of the storm." And he is the one with the power to actually do so. Sea Salt Company, I know that life sucks sometimes. And if you aren't going through suffering now, you might not be, but I guarantee at some point in your life, you will. You'll have storms like the disciples leaving you feeling helpless and confused. And when you're in the middle of the storm, sometimes the visibility is low. And it's easy to feel like God doesn't see you and that he's not in control of it all. But Jesus is the Lord of the storm and he's with you in the storm. In reality, there was never a second in this story where this was out of Jesus' control. We may not always be able to see what God is doing and why he's doing it, but Jesus uses the storms in our lives. He's with us in the storm. He gets in the boat, and the one in the boat has all the power. And here's where our ultimate hope rests. Listen, I can't promise that the trials that you're going through right now are going to end soon, that they're going to be over quickly. Jesus, he let the disciples paddle for hours before he calmed the waves. God is infinite in wisdom and we are limited, and he alone in his sovereignty knows when your current trials will end. But here's what I do know with absolute certainty. That if you are in Jesus, one day Jesus will put an end to all of suffering. There's this beautiful passage in the book of Revelation. Lydia read it earlier. It speaks of the day in heaven when all will be made new. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, 'Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away.' Then the one seated on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" The Lord of the storm will put an end to the storm. Death will be no more. The grief of divorce will be no more. The tears of loneliness and stress and anxiety will be no more. The pain of persecution will be no more. The old will pass away and the new will come. And if you are in Christ, this is yours. How? How is this yours? Because listen, Jesus, the Lord of the storm, took on the greater storm of God's wrath that we deserved. Right, this is not the biggest storm in the story. The story we're reading is not the biggest storm. There's a greater storm. Throughout the Bible, there are a number of passages that speak of the wrath of God against evil, against sinners, as a storm. Isaiah 29 says, "Then suddenly, in an instant, you will be punished by the Lord of armies with thunder, earthquake, and loud noise, storm, tempest, and a flame of consuming fire." Ezekiel 13 says, "So this is what the Lord says, I will release a whirlwind in my wrath. Torrential rain will come in my anger, and hailstones will fall in destructive fury." This is the storm that Jesus walked through so you don't have to. The greater storm. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, came to earth to live and to suffer for us, to go through the ultimate storm on the cross, where he faced the winds and the waves of God's wrath, the torrential rain, thunder, and hailstones of God's wrath. The wrath that we deserve so that we could be shielded from the greater storm by his blood. And listen, when he was raised from the grave, the storm of God's wrath was silenced. See, Jesus took on the greater storm so that we can be saved from the storm and have peace. Eternal peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding to the outside world perspective. So where do we go from here? Right, I'm in the midst of my suffering right now. Maybe that's you walking here. I'm going through something right now. What do I do? Two things I want to leave you with. Number one, let Jesus in your boat. When the disciples were in the middle of their storm, their action wasn't to row harder and harder to work their way out of their circumstances. That's not what Jesus called them to. But rather simply to let Jesus in their boat. Let Jesus into your suffering. Right? He sees you where you're at, and he is with you in it. You can walk with him in it. You can talk to him. You can pray to him. He talks to you through the word. Let Jesus into your suffering. Don't hold him at an arm's length distance. Let Jesus into your boat. And listen, if you've never accepted Jesus before today as your Savior, or if you've never let him into your boat before, into your life, know that he is offering you that gift. If you will surrender to him and let him onto your boat, let him into your life, he wants to be with you, the Lord of the storms. Let him into your boat. Here's the second thing. If you're going through trials right now, suffering right now, storms right now, know that you can sing in the storm. You can sing in the storm. You can have joy, real joy in the storm. John 16, 33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Listen to what he says. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus never promises that we won't have trials and sufferings in this life, real trials and sufferings. But he does offer us something very significant, that we can have peace in that chaos. That when suffering hits the world and others in the world without Jesus, it brings their lives crashing down. But when suffering hits the Christian, yes, it hurts. Yes, it's painful. But we can have peace, real peace in the midst of our chaos. Because we know that God is with us in the storm. He is making everything new. So listen, you don't have to wait until heaven to find peace. Because you can have peace in the chaos and you can sing in the storm. I want to end with this. In 1871, a man by the name of Horatio Spafford went through an unthinkable storm. He was a prosperous lawyer and a real estate investor in Chicago with an amazing family, but in 1871, he lost his wealth in the Great Chicago Fire. Around the same time, his four-year-old son passed away from scarlet fever. Hoping a change of scenery would help, Spafford sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England, planning to meet them after finishing some business. Tragically, the ship collided with another vessel while crossing the Atlantic, and it sank. Over 200 people died, including all four of Spafford's daughters. His wife, Anna, survived, and upon reaching England, sent him a heartbreaking message that said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio quickly boarded a ship to join his wife. During the journey, the ship's captain, aware of his loss, called him over when they were passing the location where the shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio reflected on his daughter's death, he found comfort and hope, which he expressed in the words that would later become a famous hymn. "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." How can someone going through a trial like that, to lose seemingly everything, and still find the words to sing, "It is well with my soul," to have peace in the chaos? How? Only if he has complete confidence that Jesus is with him in the boat and that he is making all things new. You don't have to wait for Jesus to make all things new. That day is coming, I promise. Jesus promises, but you can find peace in the chaos today, and we can sing in the storm. Let's pray. God, I don't know what every single person in this room is going through, but you do, Lord. And Jesus, I just pray, God, you are with us tonight. Holy Spirit, you are with us tonight. God, would you make your presence known to us tonight? Lord, I pray for the person right now who's going through something, Lord, that I could never understand. Lord, would you help them to know that you are present with them in an all new way? God, would you comfort them in your presence? God, would you give them peace in the chaos, a peace, Lord, that makes no sense to the outside world? Would you give us the vision of heaven when all things will be made new? Lord, and would they know that the Lord of the storm is with them in their storm, and the one in the boat has all the power. God, would you meet them where they're at? Would you meet us where we're at? Lord, it makes no sense. But Lord, would you turn that suffering? Lord, would you direct our eyes back to you, Jesus, the one who took on the greater storm so we can have eternal life and be saved from the ultimate storm? And would it result, Lord, in something that makes no sense to the outside world? Singing real joy, real peace in chaos to the God of the universe. In your name we pray. Amen.